We are having a special episode of Little Things today because I'm joined with Bethany Lehman from 922 Ministries, and we're going to be talking about moms groups. This is something that comes up often. I know that a lot of women have this on their heart to either start one, or maybe they've been involved in one that's at a different church and they're thinking, well, maybe we could do that here at my church. So I wanted to talk to Bethany today so that we could find out what has worked for her, what hasn't, some things that have been challenges, kind of get to the bottom of it so it might inspire more of us to do this. Hey, it's Amber, wife, mother, type A child of God. Here at Little Things, we look at everyday issues from a biblical perspective with one simple goal, to know and love God more. Thanks for listening. So welcome, Bethany.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about you. Oh, thank you. It's super good to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I am married to my husband, Andrew. We've been married for 10 years. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary a couple months ago. We have two young boys. Yeah. Thank you. They are 7 years old and 5 years old. So I am outnumbered in our house and I love it. I always thought that I would be a girl mom. In fact, my husband did too. And so the fact that we have two boys was shocking to us. But man, God knows what he's doing. So I love them. They're amazing. We're members at 922 Ministries. So our church has two campuses. One is downtown Appleton. The other one is on the north side of Appleton, St. Peter. The core is the downtown one. And we actually just moved to the Appleton area. It'll be 3 years ago this summer. But fun fact, I grew up in Appleton and I grew up a few doors down from our St. Peter campus. So that was
did you know that?
No, I didn't. Yeah, so that was my home church, my home school all of growing up. And then after high school, I moved away out of state to college. And then immediately after college, moved to Milwaukee. And so I was in the Milwaukee area for 10 years. And then as God does sometimes, he leads us to places we never expected. And so here we are back in Appleton. It is one of those opportunities to trust him. And I can look back on the story and think, okay, he knew why we needed to be here. So I'm on staff here at 922. I have two roles, actually. One is that I'm a worship leader. Music has been a passion of mine forever, and I actually have a degree in music. So I sing and play guitar, and I mean, I've been leading worship for 15 plus years, so this is kind of a dream job. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I am also a program coordinator, primarily of our mom's ministry called 922 Moms.
Awesome. I love how, I mean, you can see the twists and turns that God put in your life, or he guided and directed you. And I have three girls. I don't know if you know that. I have three girls and one boy. So
yeah.
I am heavy in the mom role of young adult women now. So
yes,
lots of good discussions and drama and all that stuff. So,
you know, I hear there's a little more drama with girls. And it's funny because while I saw myself being a girl mom now, the farther removed I get from the opportunity of that, I guess, the more I'm thinking, I don't know if I can even see myself like doing hair and dealing with the dressing up and you know, like my older son and I play catch a lot, and I do hold the title in the family for the best spiral. So I don't know. I think God knew what he was doing by giving us boys, whether I knew it at the time or not. So,
well, I can assure you, you don't have to know how to do hair to be a good girl mom. So if that was the case, I would be out immediately.
Yeah, it's not everybody's strength. It would certainly not be mine.
No. And my daughters all know how to do hair and makeup better than I do. And, you know, it's a good thing to teach the whole drama thing. You know, drama is what we make it. And so we're getting there, you know, like we don't have to make this dramatic.
Right.
Sometimes I have to remind myself that. More than anyone else. But anyway, so you deal with moms all the time, though. I mean, that's a part of your role, is really being heavy in the mom role. And would you say that this mom, 922 moms, is mostly for moms of young children, or no?
That's a good question. I think no, it's not just for moms of young children. However, I would say the majority of our moms do have younger children. I think simply because in that stage, there's so much that's hard and it's still pretty new, right? And so women are just looking for support during that time. Sure. So yeah, it's not just for younger moms, but definitely it pulls younger moms in because I think they're just desperately seeking that connection and that support.
Oh, yes. We need a support group for moms of older years. Kids. I can see it coming.
Yeah. But it's interesting because as the ministry has grown, we've gotten more moms with older kids. And there's something really sweet about the moms who are just a few steps ahead to be able to say, like, I was there not that long ago. And so I can tell you it gets better, you know?
Right.
And it gets different. There's different challenges, but there's something really sweet about having moms that are just a little bit farther ahead than you are. So we bring all of them together, which is really cool.
That is really neat. So how and when did this idea of a moms group come about?
Yeah. So it kind of starts with the story of how I ended up in a moms group first. So as I mentioned, we lived in the Milwaukee area, and I had met a friend randomly through a prenatal yoga class, and she and I were both pregnant with our first kid. So this was like 2017 that we met, and had both had our sons, and she was a stay-at-home mom. I was a full-time working mom at the time. And so she would talk to me about this mom's group she was a part of, but I was working. There was just no way for me to go. It was every Wednesday morning, and that wasn't part of my availability. But when my son was about 9 months old, I transitioned to a different job and I started working part-time because I wanted to be home with him more. So then she asked me to come. And, you know, even though I didn't shift from full-time to completely staying home, it was still a big transition for me. All of a sudden I had days at home with my kid and I loved him, but was kind of like, what do I do with you? and I didn't have very many friends, and I didn't have people, my go-to people, to say, hey, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to hit up the park today? You know, and so I felt really isolated. So the timing of it was really sweet. And she invited me to come, and I did. There was going to be childcare, and there was going to be other moms. And yes. So, but I will say, my son was one of the kids who cried the whole time. Aww. I would drop him off and he would just be wailing, and I would come and get him and he'd be like tears streaming down his face, like so sad that I had left him. How dare you, for 2 hours. It did get better and he grew from it too. So, but it was hard. I mean, and I still chose to keep coming back because it was worth it. I got to have coffee, and there was food, and there was community and teaching, and it was a really beautiful thing for me at that time in my life. So I was in this program then from, he was maybe just under a year. Then I got pregnant with my second. So my boys are 2 years apart. You know, I was in it through having my second child and kind of that whole transition. And for me personally, I experienced a good amount of anxiety and depression during both of my pregnancies. My first one, honestly, I don't even think I knew what was going on. I didn't have the tools or the resources to be able to identify it, but it was worse in my second pregnancy, and finally had some counseling and some people to kind of point to, like, nope, this is a real thing. I mean, we talk about postpartum depression and anxiety, not enough, but some. And we don't really talk about the fact that it can happen prenatally as well. And so, you know, I'm walking through this journey of like feeling like I'm not a good mom to my toddler. And I'm going through all of these transitions, having a second child. And so having some people to share with and to walk alongside me, I mean, were they my best friends? No, but they were women who were also moms, whose faith was important to them, and who could say, you're not alone. you know, right. And that made all the difference. And so it was just, it sounds dramatic to say, it changed my life.
It's so interesting to have you say prepartum depression, because I always said that's what I had. I didn't even know it was a thing. I truly didn't. But I do know that there are women who love being pregnant, and yes. then there are other people. And for me, yeah, I was super, super sick with all of my kids for 20 weeks. And at 20 weeks, it like cut off. But then just everything was hard for me. Nothing was simple in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I loved the babies. Like as soon as I delivered, everything changed. For me, mm-hmm. It was like a switch. I was happy. I was joyful. But boy, up until then, everything was hard. And mm-hmm. so I hadn't heard anybody talk about that before.
Yeah. And people don't talk about it. And there's almost this risk of like shame if you do, because pregnancy is so beautiful, and shouldn't you just be so happy and look at this life that you're growing inside of you? And yes, that's true. And for some of us, it's also really hard, emotionally, physically, it can be a lot. So yeah, that was my story. And I wish now, of course, looking back, I wish that I had known what it was, and I wish that there was people talking about it. And it's interesting, the farther I am removed from it, it doesn't feel as hard anymore. Of course, it's been now 5 years since I had my youngest, but I have to consistently remind myself, especially working with moms, of those real feelings, because as time goes on, they heal, right? And they feel less, but I have to almost remind myself how hard it was so that I can relate to other women and say to them, like, you're not alone. You know, yeah. I experienced that too, and do the thing that I wish someone had done for me at the time.
Yeah. And what you're saying really is you get to a point, even if your child is only 5 years old, you get to a point of mentoring other moms mm-hmm. in the Christian life. I just yesterday was at my nephew's gender reveal party and I had seen him out at a restaurant on February 2nd. We were celebrating my mother-in-law's birthday and he was at a table with a friend, and I stopped afterwards and I sat down and talked to him, and he's like, my wife is so sick. Like, I just want her to get better. Like, she's 18 weeks and it's not better. And so I immediately came home and I, you know, messaged her, and I was like, I was sick until 20 weeks, and that's when I cut off. Just hang on. Like, not everybody, you know, it follows the textbook where the first trimester, by 15 weeks, you're feeling better. And so I saw her yesterday and she's like, Amber, 20 weeks, it cut off. And you gave me hope. It was the first time I had hope, because I kept thinking every day that passed, why am I not feeling better? I should be feeling, everybody says, you know, after the first trimester, you feel better. I'm like, you're not everybody. I think that's one of the first lessons of being pregnant and parenting, is that what works for one person won't work for you, and what works for your child. Like, this is just the beginning of learning. Forget everybody and just focus on, wait, here's me. What's going to work for us?
Yes. Yeah. And I think so much of that, whether it's struggles with being sick during pregnancy or anxiety, depression, or just the heart of the newborn phases, breastfeeding. I mean, you could go on and on about the list. I think we fall into the trap of thinking that we're the only ones, or no one else will understand, or we should ourselves, right? Like, I should be so grateful, or I should be doing fine, or I should be XYZ, that then we don't talk about it. And so then those feelings fester and we continue to feel so alone. And so for someone to say to you what she was going through, it gave you this opportunity to speak into her story and encourage her. And so I think that's what we hope for when we gather moms into a group, is like, be vulnerable, talk about the thing, because even though it's hard, there's going to be good things to come from it. And you never know who is going to be encouraged because you shared the thing that's hard for you.
Right. Okay. So you had this wonderful experience in Milwaukee. You come to Appleton, you don't see it. Is that how this started coming about, that you started talking to other women like, this is something we need?
Yeah, sort of. And actually, it was sort of stirring in my heart before we moved here. So we went to a different church when we were in Milwaukee, obviously. And I kind of had this nudging of like, I love this. This is blessing me so much. And it's not my church home. And so I would love to see this play mm-hmm. out at my church home. And the church home that we had at the time already had a mom's ministry, but it was the kind where it's like mommy and me, and everybody comes and they bring their kids and the kids all play and the moms, you know, wrangle them and
yeah.
and try to talk, and it's great. And so I didn't want to step on anyone's toes and kind of took that as like a no, not right now. And I had really tiny kids at home, and I probably shouldn't have been thinking about doing anything at that time anyway, but it was still in the back of my mind. So then we moved here in 2021. And yeah, honestly, I just started talking to people about it because this still had been in the back of my mind. I saw our church. We have a very large church and a school attached to it. So a lot of families and a lot of young families. And so a lot of moms. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of blew my mind that we didn't have anything like this. I think there had been attempts to start moms groups in the past. It's what I've heard. And they maybe lasted for a while and just nothing became of them. And so I started talking to other moms. I would just bring it up. Like, what do you think about this? Would you be a part of it? Do you think other people would be a part of it? And so there was sort of this resounding like, yeah. And so then I started talking to ministry leaders a little bit. And again, casually, like, what do you think yeah. about this? Would this be something that would be received here? And again, feedback was really positive. So then I scheduled, I think, an initial meeting with a couple of memberships of leadership at our church just to float the idea and say, you know, this has kind of been on my heart. I'm curious what you think. And again, just continual support. Like, yes, let's do this. So we had a larger meeting with a couple of key ministry people from different areas. And we started talking about how we could serve moms. So at first it was kind of broad. And then I had the opportunity in that meeting to sort of outline, this is the type of ministry I was a part of. And I see the success and I see how well the model works. And so I gave all the details and kind of pitched it. And there was tons of excitement around it. And then I will never forget, one of our lead pastors looked at me and said, this is a great idea. I absolutely love this. And you're going to be the one that leads it. Oh. And here's the thing though, Amber, while I can tell you I had this on my heart, it was like this nudging, I had this wall up for whatever reason that it wasn't necessarily that I was going to do it. I just wanted to see it happen.
Welcome for to real. A church.
So
if I could tell you all the time someone was like, we should do this. And I have learned to look at them and say, are you saying we or me at this point? Like,
right. And so I was totally guilty of that. I don't know. Looking back, it makes me laugh because I just think, well, what else were you thinking? Did you think someone else right. was going to do it? But I don't know. So I still wasn't convinced that I was going to have this role in it. But him saying that was a big push. I think I needed yep. that for the Lord to say, like, I'm actually calling you to be obedient in this and I need mm-hmm. you to hear me. And then there's another situation a few weeks later. So after this meeting, I had a friend who had just delivered twins. And I went over and brought a meal to her house. And whenever I bring a meal to a mom, I'm very like, I can leave it at your door, right? Whatever yeah. you need. But if you want me to come in, I'll fold some laundry. I'll do your dishes. But right. you got to stay the thing, right?
Yeah.
So I show up. I'm like unloading her food and just kind of gave a little check-in. She's like, will you feed a baby for me? And I said, absolutely. So I sat down on the couch. I got her baby. I'm feeding a bottle. Because she's got twins. She's only has two arms. And yep. so I'm sitting here feeding this baby and my friend's mother-in-law comes in to help out with the kids. Now, her mother-in-law was one of the people who, when I pitched this idea, she was one of the first persons that came to my mind as a mentor. And I'll get to that part later of the yeah. mentor model. But she was like one of the people I thought, she is my ideal mentor mom. So she walks mm-hmm. in and so we're sitting in the living room. She's holding a baby. I'm holding a baby. And I just said, can I ask you something? And I just gave her like the quick elevator pitch of this yeah. idea of the ministry. And her eyes just lit up. And she was like, I'm in. Let's do this. So again, I just feel like the Lord was like, I'm going to show you that this is what you need to be doing. And I'm going to yeah. prove to you and give you reminders along the way so that when your doubt creeps in about, should I be doing this? Is this good timing? Am I the one? He's like, yep, let me lead you. Mm-hmm. So that was a really sweet reminder. And then, yeah, from there, my sister-in-law was also super passionate about it. So she lives in the area, goes to our church as well. And we just kind of gathered up a leadership team that of Sweet. People who were willing to champion this and be a part of it. We kind of identified some loose roles of like, here's what we need, and then started planning and promoting it and got the ball rolling.
All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty. Tell me about the model. What you said you didn't want a Jesus and me. You didn't want the kids in with the moms playing. What was the model that you were looking for?
Yeah, so I'll give a disclaimer that I can't give credit for this model. It comes from an organization called Mom to Mom Ministries, and they're the ones who kind of started how this is structured. So we based it off of that. But what it looks like is I think their recommendation is to meet every week. Ours worked better every other week, just the way that our church was served and the moms, what they needed every other week feels like the sweet spot. So we meet every other morning from every other, sorry, Wednesday morning from 9 to 11, and there's childcare. That's a key component. So kids get dropped off in the childcare, moms come and they get some coffee, and then we gather in a large space and do usually a video teaching. So Mom to Mom Ministries also has a curriculum that we used their first and second year, and watch the video teaching as a large group. I guess I should back up. Prior to that, I usually will stand up and do some announcements, a little bit of maybe an icebreaker type activity. It depends on the week. Sometimes a little devotion, or I'll share a song or something to encourage them, kind of get the morning kicked off. Then we launch into our video teaching. And then we'll break for refreshments. So we usually provide, either we will provide food or we do a rotation where each small group provides food every time, which is such a gift, I think, to a lot of moms. Like, how many times a day do you sit down and nourish yourself and have like a whole plate of food that you ate that wasn't just like the scraps from your toddler's plate?
I used to always say when my kids were growing up, the best meals are the ones I don't make.
Oh, amen. Yes. And so we have people who are so accommodating with food allergies and stuff. There's something for everyone. It's lovely. So everyone gets their food, and then they kind of disperse around our campus to small group locations. So each small group is led by a mentor mom. We call them mentor moms. So based off of the Titus chapter 2 verses that talk about older women encouraging younger women in their faith life and as wives and as mothers, we have these women who have launched kids into adulthood, and they have been there and they've experienced it, and they lead our small groups. So they have small group time. They discuss the video, or they discuss life or whatever's going on in the lives of the moms that are sitting around the circle. And they have a time to pray and just share. And then the time goes super fast, and then it's 11 o'clock and we break up and we go pick up kids, and people are on their way, hopefully feeling refreshed and ready to handle the rest of the day. So that's how we structure it.
So when you started putting all these pieces together, what were some of the hard parts that were hard? I've done many things in the church, and to me, I can imagine finding childcare at that time of day. Was that tricky?
Yeah. So finding childcare at that time of day was really hard, because we have this whole group of moms that are in the program partaking in the ministry, right? And then you've got a set of moms who are mentors. So they're like the grandma age. So then it was kind of like, who's left? But I think once we got a few people, the word spread a little bit. So we would have little pockets of people who have kind of their own friend group, and they'd say like, I'm doing this for this mom's ministry, come join me. And so we got a few people to come, and some of it was like, my mother-in-law serves in this role, my sister-in-law's mom. So people that we just would talk to and say like, we really need this volunteer role filled, would you do it? And I think that's something I've learned so much along the way, is just make the ask, right? You never know what people are going to say. And the cool thing that has happened is this childcare team, they first of all are amazing. They love on these kids, and it's so sweet to see. But they also recognize what they're giving to the moms. And they will say that, like, it is my privilege to get to give these moms the time so that their kids are taken care of, that they can fill their cup and they can be poured into. And so that's just been so, so sweet. And I will say the thing that helps is we have budgeted to be able to give each childcare person a stipend every time that they come. And so I think that helps because it is a way of us saying, we really value this. We want you to keep coming back. We want you to feel appreciated. So that's something that we have built into our model too and budgeted for. So that helps.
So when you were talking about mentor moms, so what is a mentor mom? What were you looking for in a mentor mom when you started this? Because this is a key component for success for this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's something that sets it apart, right? Because you can gather moms for coffee or on a play date, but it levels up the ministry by having this mentor component. So the ideal mentor is somebody who's launched their kids into adulthood. So college age kids or older is kind of the ideal. Somebody who's obviously very rooted in their faith, knows God's word. We do ask them to be a member at our church because a lot of times things come up about what our church is offering. What, you know, we have people, I would say 25% of our moms are not members of our church. So we want people, which is cool. So we want people who can, if they don't have a church home, can point them to our resources and things like that. So we do want them to be a member. So usually it's a personal ask. I will take recommendations. So I'll ask around to ministry leaders at our church, hey, who do you know that would fit this role? And they kind of know what type of people we're looking for. We just go to such a big church. I can't know everybody who fits into that age group and has, you know, those skills and the willingness and the availability. I mean, that's another component, right? They have to be able to come during the time that we're asking them to be there. So I would make personal asks usually via email first and kind of spell out, here's the type of person we're looking for. Here's what the commitment looks like. And then for a lot of them, then I would sit down over coffee and we'd just talk about whether it was a good fit for both of us, you know, for the ministry and for them. And yeah, it's been really cool to see the mentors that God has brought to the program. They're all different. They bring different skills, different personalities, but also to see the ways that God has blessed them. I mean, they're not all of them, but some of them are in this season of life where like, their kids are gone and they're kind of left thinking, okay, what's my role right now? What's my purpose? Yeah. I think for some grandkids help fill that role a little bit, but some of them don't have grandkids yet or don't have them. And so I've seen that play out where they're given this opportunity and they are themselves really filled up by it because they feel like, oh, I do have something to say, you know, I do have some wisdom to share. I can pour into these moms and I did experience this. And I've also seen them connect with each other, which I think was something that none of us really expected. Like, especially the first year, there was just this really sweet group of mentors and they kind of developed their own little small group and were able to build each other up and mentor each other. So yeah, blessings upon blessings that I couldn't have imagined, but part of it has come from that mentor group as well.
So you meet as a large group, you do your icebreakers, your housekeeping things, and then you watch the video, you go into these small groups. How big are the groups that you break up that you have with your mentor moms?
Yeah, this year they are eight moms plus a mentor.
Okay.
Last year it was between six and eight, I think. This year we filled up all of our groups and we did cap it at eight, I think. Any larger than that is hard to have a conversation, especially as women. You know, we like to talk and we only have about an hour in our small groups and that goes quickly. And we want everyone to have a chance to share if they want to. And so, yeah, I get some feedback still that people wish they had smaller groups and I hear that. And I know our ideal is like, I'd love to just have four people to sit around with, but the trade-off is then we don't have room for more people. So it's one of those decisions that's hard to make, but at the end of the day, we want to be able to build up and support as many moms as we can.
Okay. So you mentioned that childcare, you pay the childcare workers. What other positions are paid?
Well, some of us are on staff.
Yep.
So that's paid, but it doesn't come out of our budget because we're already on staff for the ministry. So as far as paid roles, just the childcare workers have paid roles. So the volunteers, the mentors are fully volunteer. We try to treat them well and like give them a gift at Christmas and give them a gift at the end of the year just to show them appreciation, but they're volunteers. And then we have a couple volunteers who help with the hospitality side of things.
Okay.
Yeah, beyond that, we don't pay other roles.
Okay, so good to know. Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you have faced as you started this and now that you're a couple of years in? Mm-hmm. What have you noticed that kind of we're a little bit on the challenging side?
Yeah, how much time do you have? there's just a lot of challenges with starting a ministry, so plenty. I think I mentioned the childcare one. That was probably a top challenge, recruiting childcare volunteers. But another one for us, and this is probably unique to our situation, but I'll share it anyway. From year one to year two, we experienced tremendous growth, which is amazing, but it was really challenging. And I think, so to give you some numbers, the first year we had 47 moms in the program, which I will say, going back to kind of the planning process, I had always said, I'll be happy with like 10, you know, I'll be happy with 20. And so then as registration numbers started coming in, it was getting to like 40 and 50. And then a few kind of trickled off after. There's always a little flux, right? Moms have to adjust their schedules. And so we ended with 47 was our number last year and 7 mentors. This year we have 102 moms and 13 mentors. Mm-hmm. So we more than doubled in the time span of a year, which is amazing. God be praised for that.
Right.
I think looking back, I wished that I would have prepared a little bit better for that. I think we all underestimated what a difference it would make to have so many more people. Like part of it is just logistics. Yeah. The more people, the more planning, the more just coordinating and putting people into small groups and communicating with all of those people and training 13 mentors versus 7 mentors. I mean, it's just, I think I underestimated how much more work it would take. And so and at the time in the transition, I was still working as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. So this became a paid role later for me, but it was not at the time. So I was still a volunteer and I was burning out. And so were some of the other team members that I had. And so we had to pivot really quickly, recruit some more leadership team members, recruit some more volunteers. But I feel like we did that just in the nick of time. Like we were being reactive versus I just wish that we could have been more proactive.
Yeah.
Of course, hindsight is so very clear.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. It was a big challenge. And I think there's excitement, right, around numbers because it's like, look how many moms want to be served in this way. Look at this opportunity we have to minister to them. And with more numbers comes more responsibility and more work. And so I feel like I have my feet under me a lot better now, but at that time of transition, it was hard.
Yeah. So the second year too, you made another kind of significant change in scheduling, correct?
With the evening program?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So after our first year, we received a lot of requests from moms saying, I wish I could be part of this, but I work during the day.
And
I'm like, I get it. That was my excuse when I was a working mom too. I'm not excuse, but you know, the reason why it just was a limiting factor. I couldn't be a part of something like this. So we heard so much feedback about could we do an evening program? And so we prayed about it a lot and thought about the logistics and kind of thought through, okay, what would that take? And so I prayed then for more mentors because more women means more mentors and God provided that. And so then my next prayer was, so my husband and I talked a lot about the idea of this and you know, the work that it would take. And we kind of agreed for me to do both a morning and an evening program because they would be on the same day.
Yeah.
Would be a lot on our family because I also work in the worship world. We do rehearsals in the evenings. So my time in the evenings is already committed part of the week. So then my prayer was, okay, I need like a me for the evening program. I need to have someone who I can delegate those responsibilities for that so that I don't have to be present there. Mm-hmm. And God delivered that too. So that was a huge answer to prayer. just to have somebody I could rely on to lead the evening program. And so we did. We launched an evening program, and we don't provide childcare. We kind of hope that between husband or family members or whatever, moms can just leave their kiddos at home, and then they come and they show up and get together after work if they're working, or some of them aren't, but it just works better with their schedule to do it in the evening. So that added a whole other component, but it's been really cool to see how it's blessed moms who they're working and they're busy and they're choosing to take time out of their busy schedules to do an evening thing. But I see such connection and such relationship building happening there. I mean, they will be there until 20, 30 minutes after the program's supposed to end because they just, they're connecting, and it's so, so cool to see.
Awesome. So as you've gone through this and you've found what specifically works for your church and your program, what are some of the non-negotiables that you've found that, like, if I'm going to do a mom's program, this has to be a component versus some of the things that you could say, well, you could do a mom's group if you didn't do this, it just wouldn't be the same.
Right. Well, I think the childcare piece is a non-negotiable for me. And I said this over and over when I was kind of pitching this idea. Like, I'm passionate about us having childcare because it allows for the moms to really be poured into, to have those conversations and focus on that time for themselves to grow in their faith and in their motherhood journey. So I would say the childcare piece for a model like this is a non-negotiable. And I think the mentorship piece too. I just think that adds such a dimension to the experience to have those different voices from different stages of life. So I think those are the ones that I would say would have to be there. You know, we are super blessed to have a large church with a lot of technology, a really beautiful space. We do this at the core. And so we have all the bells and whistles that we can have.
Right.
The screens and the microphones and the, you know, sky's the limit as far as what we can do. We also have a very sophisticated check-in system where people get name tags printed and, you know, it keeps things organized. I do a lot of things on the back end with the software that we have. But does it have to be like that? No. You know, that's a luxury that we have, but it's not a necessity. We could still be serving these women without all those things. And I also think the quantity of people doesn't have to be there, right? I mean, you could be serving a group of 12 moms in the same way, and it would still be really blessed.
Yeah. And that would mean maybe one mentor mom, one woman, an older woman stepping in. Exactly. I've actually had the wonderful experience of being able to be part of your gatherings twice now. And I would say, without a doubt, the mentor component is huge. The first time I came, you set me up to stay with a mentor mom, and I met her group that night. They were all there at her house. They were having a Christmas party, and I was able to just watch how they interacted and how this mentor mom had become such a trusted component to the other moms who were raising littles. And the thing is that I've been to Appleton a couple times since, in between just speaking, and your mentor mom has become my mentor mom.
I love that.
I love her, and she's like, we text back and forth. And I would say too, you can't have too many mentors. I mean, people who have done life before you and have gone through the hoops. And that has been such a huge part of raising my children. Yes. My husband and I, we didn't have a mom's group at my church. We did for a little bit of time, but it fizzled out in part because of that childcare component. We just couldn't seem to work it out, and many other factors. But my husband and I joined an in-home Bible study, and we were the youngest couple, and everybody else was just a couple of years ahead of us. And so like 2 or 3 years ahead of us. And then there were a couple of people that were 5 or 6 years ahead of us. But we, for 17 years, that was our monthly date that we went to. Yeah. And we gleaned so much wisdom from our group that was just doing life a little bit ahead of us, mm-hmm. you know, and they'd be talking about what's going on. Like they were teaching their kids to drive and they're like, oh my goodness, whatever you do, you know, and Steve and I were just ears wide open, like, okay, take note of this. And we are, our parenting style absolutely changed from being among these Christian people mm-hmm. who were breathing into us. One family said, we told our children as they got into high school and college, we will take you anywhere for spring break. Either the mom or the dad would go, but we don't want you to go to spring break with your friends. Mm-hmm. And we heard about all the different trips that they went. And that was the time that we decided we were taking our family somewhere. We were going to make a point to travel as a family, to have that time together. And that our children still to this day say the greatest memories from their childhood. Yeah. They talk about all the trips that we took as a family. And that absolutely came from sitting at the feet of other Christian parents who were like, we didn't want our children to leave college to go to spring break to Fort Lauderdale to, you know, party. Yeah. So we just said right off the bat, look, we'll pay for the trip. We'll go one-on-one. But we'll go anywhere in the continental United States, but it's with us. And
I love that.
It's a chance to, you know, speak into your children and yes. have that time and grow together. And so that mentor component, I can't say enough like you, mm-hmm. like that to me is kind of, if you can make it happen at yep. all, that is huge for all yes. of us raising children and just doing life. It's just, you're blessed exponentially if yes. if you can get that worked out.
Yes. For sure. And I mean, we're providing this opportunity right for moms, but it doesn't have to be given to you. You can pursue that mentor relationship in other ways. And I think that's one of my prayers for this too, is that because not every mom is going to stay in this forever, and that's yeah. fine and that's good, but that's what they carry with them, is that desire to build that mentorship connection. So as they get older and they get through a little further along through their motherhood journey, they can connect with the younger moms and be that role for them because they've seen the value.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so if someone is listening and they've had it on their heart, I think the Holy Spirit was nudging you. He was planting mm-hmm. a seed, you know. Mm-hmm. So if the Holy Spirit is planting seeds and other women are saying, okay, oh, I've wanted to do this for so long, and it still sounds like kind of a lot of work and kind of tricky, what is your advice? What are first steps? What can you do to take this from that seed to make it happen? Just do it.
I think just start. Start by talking to other moms. Mm-hmm. Get a feel for what is the vibe in your community, your church community? You know, are people looking for this? Can you get them excited about the idea of it? You know, come up with like a little elevator pitch of like, here's my vision. What do you think? And then listen to that feedback, right? Hear what people are saying. Because if they don't fully agree, well, what could shift then? What would fill that void for them? I think talking to other key stakeholders and leaders at the church too, to get the buy-in, because I think that's huge. Our church has been amazing at supporting this from the very beginning and just giving the green light to say yes to it. And so getting that buy-in is also really key. And I think it can be as elaborate or as complicated as you're willing to make it. You know, you could have paper registration forms. You could have two rooms, one for moms and one for kids. And you need a couple volunteers to watch the children. Like you said, a mentor or two, depending on what the size of your group is, a leader to do it. And some sort of good curriculum, whether you decide you're going to do a Bible study or study a book. I mean, there's tons of books on motherhood. An obstacle there is, will moms read it on their own? You know, we're all super busy and not everyone's a reader. So, but you know, you could find videos, you could share a teaching that's different every time. And maybe there's room in the budget for some coffee. Maybe everybody pitches in a couple of dollars and you provide some kind of refreshment, but maybe not. So I think just figuring out like, what's the scope that you can scale this? What's realistic? And start there. And then if you have room to grow and expand, then that's great. But better to start small and to start than just to not do it at all.
So you probably don't know this, but that's how my first two books came about.
Yeah.
Bible Moms and Ladies of Legacy both came out because I started a moms group. And a woman at our church said, I just want to study moms in the Bible and what they would tell us. If they were saying to us today, hey, listen, this is what I learned as a mother.
Yes.
So that's what I did the first year. I just did moms of the Bible, like lessons from other moms. And then the next year we were like, okay, there's a whole bunch of women in the Bible that we don't know if they were moms, like Esther. That wasn't part of her story. And Miriam, we don't know, you know? And so what about those women? Could we do studies on that? And so that was exactly how my first two books came about, is just from doing mom's ministry and creating material, because that is a huge, huge problem. Always. I find that for any women's Bible study, anything I've ever been part of, the finding the material is a huge part of how can we find decent material that speaks to us at this point.
Yes. Yeah. And that points to God's word. I mean, that is such a key piece of it, because we live in an age where there are resources galore for moms, right? We can go scroll on Instagram and find all the tips and tricks and advice, and that's great. But at what point is it pointing us to Jesus? And to go beyond that, that's on the internet, and reading is great and soaking in podcasts is great. But then what about the human connection, the real face-to-face encouragement, building each other up in God's word? So it's like that sweet spot of we are looking for. Sometimes it feels like this unicorn of a thing, but it's I believe it's there. And if it's not there, well, then we're going to do what Amber does and we're going to make it.
Yeah. No, truthfully, I feel like there's a call for creators to really start producing for other people, because there is a gap, it seems.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for all your insight and your wisdom. I love what you're doing. Every time I've come to the core and seen you guys in action, it is just such excitement among moms and just to be there and see how everybody is on fire and filled up. Like you said, I always feel like, man, we're doing something right with women when we can fill them up so that they can go home and they can pour out, because that's what we do.
Exactly.
We pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out. But at some point, someone needs to fill our cup so that we can also pour out. So
We're doing important hard work of motherhood. Yeah, agreed. And I will say also, I'm super grateful for every time that you come and speak to our moms. I mean, they will talk about it for days and days and days afterwards. It's always such an encouragement to us. And I also just praise God for leading you into this ministry and allowing us to intersect. I don't know if you know this, but the way that you ended up first coming was we were planning our Christmas brunch. So we do like a brunch and worship. The last 2 years we've done this. And I wanted to bring in a guest speaker because we didn't have like a video to play or whatever. And so I had Pastor Mike Novotny is a pastor at our church. And I had asked him, do you have any leads on a speaker? Like, I had no idea. I had no context. This is not something I had done before.
Yeah.
And he was like, yep, you should bring Amber. It was like immediate, just like she's your girl. She's who you'll need. And so, I reached out and you were super excited from the get-go. And it's been fun to see God bless that. And I'm excited to continue to have you come and speak to our moms and get to build relationships. And that's something I think I've appreciated so much about you, is you're not just coming, giving the talk and see you later, guys. Like, you're willing to get to know these women and invest in them, which is just such a blessing too. So thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my passion and my pleasure, because, you know, women teach women. That's what we do. And God has definitely put it in my heart. And like you, you know, so often our ministry comes from what we were looking for and not finding, or the things in our life that we were thinking, man, I so need somebody with me right now. And so when you have experience that, and then you find that you're in a position to breathe into someone else, it's a no-brainer. It's just God leading, and in providing and equipping in a beautiful way.
Yes. Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here. I know that this is going to encourage and inspire lots of people. So the prayer is that we'll see a whole lot more moms groups spiking up all over to encourage and support and hold up these women in Christ.
Yes, absolutely. And I am always willing to be a sounding board and have a phone conversation with anybody who's interested in doing something like this. So I will share my experience for better or for worse.
Awesome. So we'll make sure that your contact information is available in episode notes. So if people need to say, hey, what is that curriculum and what have you liked about it? What didn't you like about it? Walk me through it. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amber.